All right. Come on, honey. This is wonderful. I'd be in trouble. We're somewhere, and I said, you know, come on. And somebody said, some girl said, he didn't call her Mrs. Wonderful this year. Yeah, and I said, man, I started something now. Amen. She's still wonderful. Anybody live in an RV with me 25 years would be wonderful. Yeah, that proves there's a God. I asked her one time, I said, wonder what you did in a previous life to get sentenced to the road with me. I don't know what it was, but I'm glad of it. Dory, I'll get this. All right, make sure it's on. Not. Tap it again there, dear. All right. Ain't working. Working now.
Okay.
All right.
Ready?
No, I actually thought that's funny, didn't you? Amen. I am so not ready. All right. I think I'm ready.
While walking down a memory lane, a path so long ago, old Satan came right by my side, making me feel low. He brought up thoughts of hurt and pain when I had gone astray. He wanted to discourage me as I walked along my way. He said, you're undeserving, 'cause I know where you've been. I have a record of your life when you were bound by sin. I know your darkest secrets that you would never tell. What makes you think you don't deserve a place with me in hell? Well, I heard the old accuser, and this was my reply. You're right for all those things I've done. I sure deserve to die. My righteousness is filthy rags. My goodness is unclean. There's only one thing I can say to what you've said to me. It's under the blood. Oh, praise his dear name. I'm not what I used to be. My life has been changed. Not shackled by sin and shame. It's already gone. I'm happy reminding him it's under the blood. Victory was given me when I was born again. He washed my stained and sinful past and put new life within. No longer do I bear the mark sin had brought my way. With happiness and peace of mind, praise God, I now can say, it's under the blood. Oh, praise his dear name. I'm not what I used to be. My life has been changed. Not shackled by sin and shame. It's already gone. I'm happy reminding him it's under the blood.
Try it together.
It's under the blood. Oh, praise his dear name. I'm not what I used to be. My life has been changed. Not shackled by sin and shame. It's already gone. I'm happy reminding him it's under the blood. I'm happy reminding.
Boy, we would not have a hope if it wasn't for that. All right. It's interesting what you said, Brother Brian, about people. Actually, I do come here because you are of a certain persuasion. I'm a Bible believer. I want to be around people that believe this book. That's the criteria that directs my path. You might be in here tonight and not be a Bible believer, because we're more than happy to share the Word of God with people that aren't saved and don't know. That's all part of the process. But that right there, And I'd preach, I'll just tell you now, I hope this don't make you feel bad, I'd preach at the Vatican if they'd let me.
Yeah.
I don't think I could get a 10-day meeting. Amen. But people need the truth, need the Word of God, and we need to be sharpened.
Yes, ma'am.
By being around the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God and like-minded believers. So, amen. You guys qualified. So here we are. And we're honored to be here. Take your Bible tonight. Go to Philippians chapter 3. You know, I know it's going to be hard to believe. But there's people that wouldn't let me in their church. Quite a few, actually. There's people that wouldn't want to have anything to do with me because of my background. And they're glad I got saved, but, you know. So, you know, we're on equal basis. Thanks for having me, and you can thank me for coming, and we'll just have a party on Friday night. We worked last week. Amen. Get back to the Bible, Spurgeon. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. Paul writes this right here. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That was Paul's goal. Amen? Yeah. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And there were forces in play to prevent him from reaching his goal. He says it like this in 1 Thessalonians 2 and 18, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. There is a spiritual battle, beloved. The prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus should be your goal too. But like been said already, it won't happen by itself. Amen. It won't happen just because you got saved. Amen. That's not, he said, I pressed. There's effort involved. Amen. And I got to tell you, there are forces in play, amen, to prevent you from reaching that goal too. Amen. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Amen. You've got a spiritual enemy that you are no match for. Beloved, and you got a target on your back when you became a child of God. Amen. Now, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, and we're more than conquerors and all that. But don't let your guard down. That's what be sober, be vigilant means. And if the devil ain't bad enough, Paul wrote this in Romans 7 and 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, and how to perform that which is good, I find not. We are our own worst enemy and preventing us from reaching that goal that was Paul's goal, ought to be our goal. So I want to, Paul gives us his strategy for reaching that goal tonight. And, that's what I want to give you. That's what, that's what I believe the Lord would have us to get tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you for grace. Thank you for just a bunch of believers that'll gather to hear your word and enjoy the fellowship of each other and encourage one another and sing the songs of Zion. I was reading I was reading the words of, oh, worship the King, and your robe is light, and your canopy is space. And I thought, boy, whoever wrote those words knew you. Thank you for the old hymns and churches that still sing them. And Lord God, I pray that you'd meet with us tonight. Help me to say something, be a blessing to somebody. But God, if there's somebody in here that's not saved, I pray that God, something would be said that, would maybe get them a little closer to the saving knowledge of the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray in that name that is above every name. Amen. All right, so Paul's strategy, go back to verse 13. Here's Paul's strategy reaching his goal. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And in verse 13, you back it up one, and he says this, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting that those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. So let's break that down a little bit. Number one, beware of thinking that you have arrived. Some of you have been saved a long time. Some of you know Bible. Some of you have been on a mission field. Bunch of you, actually. Some of you know a bunch of, you've led people to Christ. But still, it's important, if you're ever going to reach this place that we're talking about, the high calling of God, you need to be real careful of thinking that you've arrived. Paul begins verse 13 by saying, I count not myself to have apprehended. Amen. Now, when a fugitive from the law gets apprehended, here's what that means. It means they got him. Trust me on that one. And, amen. And so you'll hear the expression often in society, even maybe in our circles, you'll hear the expression, I got this. Right? I gave some good, solid, biblical counsel to a young man one time that would have saved him a lot of trouble had he heeded it. But his response, he was focused on other things, and his response to me was, I got this. And I said, okay. And it didn't turn out so well. He didn't have it. And I say, when it comes to this thing of the high calling of God, you need to be real careful. There's a great danger to thinking that you got this thing down when it comes to the Christian life or the Word of God.
Right.
Paul was no dummy. He was highly educated. Nobody ever accused him of being an unlearned or ignorant fisherman. He was, like I said, highly educated. But after almost 30 years of service, he writes these words. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Amen. He knew he hadn't arrived. He had a goal ahead of him. And we do well. We do well. Not thinking that we've arrived just because you've arrived tonight. You've arrived at 602 Oak Knoll. Amen. And someday if you're saved, you're going to arrive in heaven.
Amen.
Amen. And boy, between now and then, it's a journey.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. And let me just add this. Stopping by here, like as often as they have service, would be a good thing to make part of that journey.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And, amen. Now, the Laodicean church age, you guys understand that the church ages in Revelation 2 and 3, and we're in the last one, and we're in the one that precedes the Lord's return, and we're looking forward to that. And I say this, and you know it's right, as you look around, there's many, 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 many churches everywhere, but our crowd's few. Few and far between. We're not better than them, but we're sure enough better off because we have the book.
Amen.
And the Laodicean church age makes it easy for us to believe that we're way more spiritual than we really are. Yeah, and that's the danger. Compared to people that don't understand the perfect salvation of God, yeah, we are better off. Amen. I mean, I don't wake up, I have never got up in the morning wondering if something that I said or thought or did, I mean, even back in the early days, had cost me my salvation and now I'm going to hell again. It was presented to me clearly and I got in a church that showed me that everlasting life, if you take that word everlasting back to the original English, it means everlasting. Amen. I said, okay. So I don't worry about going to hell no more. We got a leg up just from that right there. And, amen. And compared to people that don't understand that we have the perfect, inspired, inerrant Word of God.
Amen.
You can build on the right foundation.
Amen.
And I got to tell you, I'm not a Bible believer because I made some spiritual quest like some of you did, and you've come from some different places as far as denominations or whatever to get to where you got around some folks. Not me. I'm not here. Listen, I wasn't looking for God when he saved me in a jail cell. Amen. I had no clue. I was on a pre-sentence investigation even when I made bond. And I didn't ever expect that. And God put me, the little church that brought the gospel to me is the church I went to And just to thank them for praying for me and giving me a Bible, and what I saw, real men and real ladies that believed that Bible were sold out, and they weren't a bunch of limp-wristed little, this world doesn't know what to think about Christians. And the reason they think so many are wimps is because so many are.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have lasted very long in that crowd. And God brought me right out of a jail cell on a Friday and put me in a church where the preacher opened up the King James Bible, and I got in on it.
Amen.
And then he taught rightly dividing the word of truth for a year in Sunday school.
There you go.
And I just, you can't help but pick up on this stuff. And so I'm blessed to be here. And but that doesn't make me better, just better off. Amen. And compared to those, I feel sorry for those that don't rightly divide, because then they open up a can of worms that leads from anything to losing your salvation or thinking that you've got to do this or that. And it's, God made it so simple. And I said it one night, man and religion just complicates it. And so compared to a lot of folks, and some of them are saved, don't misunderstand that. But we do have a lot going for us. Our problem comes when we compare ourselves to them and start to get a little prideful. 2 Corinthians 10, we quoted the verse one night, comparing ourselves is not wise. And I'll tell you why. It nurtures a spirit of condescension. We kind of look down. That let me spell that big old $3 word there, condescension. It's spelled P-R-I-D-E. And ain't nowhere that shows up good. Amen.
Amen.
Luke 18 and verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers. Well, I thank God I'm not either. I don't have any problem with that so far, but I know why I'm not. Amen. It isn't because of any virtue or goodness of my own. It's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. I find it interesting that he finishes the verse with, or even as this publican. He's not out on the street corner when he says that. The verse 11, and it was two men went up together into the temple to pray. He's talking about a fellow church member. Yeah. Buddy, that's the spirit that makes this world want to vomit. Amen. It would me too. Amen. So let me just give you a little news flash, and we'll quote some verses out of the Bible. Nobody's arrived.
Amen.
If you ever want to reach the goal, be careful of thinking that God got a blessing when he got you.
Right.
Nobody's arrived. Paul said it like this in Galatians 6 and verse 3. For if a man think himself to be something, you can spot him too, boy. You can spot them. You can see it in the way they walk. Women too. They stroll into church once in a while like they're doing God a favor. Amen. God puts up with that stuff. I pray for you. I hope that nobody's here tonight like that. Amen. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart the heart is deceitful. You can sit right there the rest of the week. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Amen. And that's what Paul said. If you think you're something, amen, outside of the grace of God, hot shot, you've deceived yourself. That's like two steps forward, five steps back, you know. In 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 2, he says, and if a man, and if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet, as he ought to know. Let me see, I've been saved 32 years, and I don't know, 20 years ago, I was been in evangelism for a few years, and man, I'd preached in some places, and I'd led some people to the Lord, and I'd learned some verses, and you know, I'd start doing pretty good and starting to get real busy in evangelism, and then, you know, by the grace of God through the course of time, the older I got and the longer I served God, the more I found out what I didn't know. And that really is what keeps it exciting, because even John said in chapter 1, I must, well, John wrote of John the Baptist, I must, he must increase, but I must decrease. So the longer you're at this thing, you start thinking that really God got something when he got you. He got a pain in the rear is what he got. Amen. Amen. Beware of thinking that you've arrived. That's what Paul's saying. Forgetting those things which are behind. And I said it like this the other day, but just in case that was too subtle for somebody, this week might just be God's idea might be that you need to get knocked off your high horse. And you'd do well to climb down before God knocks you off. It's a long way to the ground. Amen. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. We're talking about Paul's strategy for what he said in 2 Timothy 4. He said, I finished my course. He had a goal and he succeeded. I want to pass too. I want it to be said of me that I fought a good fight, don't you? That I finished my course. So then he said, forgetting those things which are behind, be careful about living in the past. Be careful about living in the past. Memory lane might make a nice place for a stroll now and then. Here's what I mean. I go there occasionally. I take a stroll down memory. That book I wrote, I mean, I had to relive a lot of things. And sometimes thinking about where you were before God saved you will remind you that he brought you up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay and set your feet upon a rock and established your going. That's what's good. When I think about who I was and where I was and then where I was headed, boy, do I appreciate my salvation even more. Amen. Do I appreciate my brothers and sisters even more? Amen. That's where memory lane ought to talk you, but beware of living there. Amen. It's not a good place to build a house. Amen. Amen. It's good to be reminded that the pit was horrible and the clay was miry, and it's really good to remember who it was that brought you out, because you didn't climb out.
Amen.
Nobody threw you a rope. I mean, the Lord rolled his sleeve up and reached way down in the pits deep. And some of you, he had to reach farther. But the end of the day was we were all in a pit that we could not rescue ourselves from, nor could our buddies, our friends, our parents, our grandma.
Right, amen.
And he says, he. That's good to be reminded of. Amen. Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind. You need to remember who changed your present and who it is that holds your future.
Amen.
Amen. So the past might be a good place to visit occasionally. Memory lane is not where you want to build your house. Here's why. Hebrews 11 and 15, and truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Sometimes people invite rough crowd when I'm preaching, and the biker crowd and everything, and that's fine. And I've heard that God would save anybody. I don't know where I heard that, but I remember a guy one time come in, pretty rough looking character, and I went over there. I see him, I spot him, I get it. I go over and introduce myself, and I was at a church in Beeville years ago where a Christian motorcycle club came, and this guy's mad. He's mad at me, and he says, you're giving our crowd a bad name. And I'm going, he's talking about because I was dressed like a Christian. I have a man's haircut, things like that. And they look, I mean, from 10 feet away, you can't tell if that says I love Jesus or et cetera, like we were talking the other night. I says, what are you talking about? I give you a bad, well, because this picture implies bad and this picture implies good. And that bothered, and of all the people, this one idiot, and that bothered him. I said, you know what? I never really gave it any thought. I didn't apologize to him. That's not my best thing yet, but I didn't apologize, but I said, you know what? I never gave it any thought about how I was making you look. I was just trying to make Jesus Christ look good. The thing is, I'm bragging on what Jesus Christ. He said,
amen.
You're a new creature in Christ. He changed me.
Right. Amen.
Amen. I had a guy come one time, and he is old woolly booger. That's what we used to call him, you know, big old hairy guy. And I introduced myself, and he says, we got a lot of things in common in the past. Well, no doubt. I said, you know, that's probably true, and yeah, but you know what? I don't want to talk about the past. I said, do we have anything in common in the future? Like, are you going to heaven? I'm going to heaven. We could have that in common. And I just started talking to him about the Lord. Again, Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. You know, like I said, it's okay. It's, even David, when he writes that, he's remembering, but he's remembering why he's not in that horrible pit and why he's not in that miry clay. And we all need to be reminded, because if we don't, we won't have any compassion for others. By the way, notice my track, right? I told you I was going to put that flyer in there, and I did. I packed about 10 of them. And when we're going home last night, here I go into the Taco Cabana. Did I say it right? And there's a window there, and it looks like a drive-through window, but it's not. There's stuff stacked around, and I was going to go see this girl, recognize her, give her the track, and here I am in there, and I said, where's the drive-through? And it's back in the belly of that thing somewhere, you know, in the middle. I said, well, I was here last night, and there was a girl. They said, what do you want her for? What's the problem? I mean, maybe they thought I was a cop, but amen. And I said, well, I gave her something to read, and I told her I'd come back and give her the address. So was her name Samantha? No, I think it's Nayella, something like that. And if I said that wrong, it's because I'm dumb. But anyway, it was a nice girl. And they went and got her, and she comes around, and, oh, it's good to see you. I said, did you read that thing I gave you? She goes, I did. And she told me her and her boyfriend want to find a church, and they want to get saved. And I said, let me show you something, and it has, I got all the address. There's enough information on that flyer to get saved. There's enough information in that track to get saved. This girl's getting it, boy. And she might even darken the door one of these days. And like I tell them, I said, yeah, I'm preaching for a couple of days, but this church is there for you. Next week, next month, you know. Amen. And so we're trying to, amen. Listen, it said, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, and they might have returned. That's why it's important to burn the bridges. That way your past can't catch up with you. You can't go back. I mean, you need to, like Travis up here at the Alamo, you just need to step over the line.
Amen.
Amen. Only your flesh wants you to think of your past as the good old days.
Amen. Amen.
If you're honest with yourself, much of it wasn't very good at all.
Amen.
Amen. You know, I don't know when that might have been, whatever you might think of when you think of the good old days. Sometimes people are thinking about 100 years ago and in a different church age and the sawdust trail of people. Don't you think that people in those very times that you're referring to, they were longing for the good old days? And that just, because the Bible says the eyes of man are never satisfied, and everybody's talking about the good old days. I don't want to go back to the good old days. I am living the good old days. Joel Osteen says, live your best life now, and he better. Now, I'm enjoying this life, but boy, it's going to get a lot better on the other side.
Amen.
Speaking of the Vatican, that's another church they've never asked me to come to. That guy in Houston, okay, moving on. Amen. I preached there once. They'd probably... Well, there ain't nobody in there could throw me out, but I'd leave on my own. Amen. The Bible says the heart is deceitful and the memory selective. And Paul wrote, forgetting those things which are behind. And then he said, reaching forth unto those things which are before. So his strategy involved not thinking that he had arrived. He said, I count not myself to have apprehended, and then he's talking about forgetting those things that are behind. And then his strategy included this philosophy, making sure to maintain forward momentum, reaching forth. All right, not just looking ahead. Amen. It's proactive. And let me give you a couple examples of this. 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're talking about forward momentum. Amen. It says, the goal ain't gonna go, high goal of God ain't gonna come to you. Amen. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 48, and you know the story, I'm confident, with David and Goliath. I love it. Verse 48, and it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, Now here's this big, impressive, amen, warrior from his youth, Saul told him. And he drew nigh to meet David, and David hasted and ran toward him. I'm old school. The best defense is a good offense. Amen. That's biblical. Amen. So David is definitely maintaining forward motion. Don't you think that put that Philistine a little at ease? Like, what's this guy running at and swinging that sling? Amen. He's probably caught between laughing and wondering. And next thing you know, his head was cut off. David maintained forward motion, but I want you to go to 2 Samuel chapter 11. Now here's an example of what happens if you don't. You're not going to reach the goal. 2 Samuel 11 and verse 1, and that Bible records this, and it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, we schedule Bible reading, Brother Brian scheduling intercessory prayer. They scheduled war. Oh, it's January. Let's go to war. Okay. At the time when the kings go forth to battle, David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. No forward motion now. He's dead in his tracks. He's not where he's supposed to be. Verse 2, and it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. This is the time, the Bible says it, this is the time when kings go forth to battle, not stroll around on their roof while his fellow soldiers' wives were taking a bath. Amen. Well, that's not what I'm preaching on. I'm going to say it like this. Next thing you know, he's looking at things he shouldn't be looking at. Then he starts thinking things he shouldn't been thinking about. And, of course, that led to doing. If he'd have been at that battle, he'd have been there with his men, and they would have been rejoicing at the victory and giving God the glory for it. But here's the king, here's the leader, and he's looking at things, and he's thinking things, and the next thing you know, he's doing things he shouldn't be doing. Amen. And that's what will happen to you and me if we just get settled in and satisfied. A good man shall be satisfied from himself. Amen. Of course, you know the story. Next thing you know, he's lying to cover it up, and set Uriah up. A mighty man that God made him list in his last words over, was it 2 Samuel 22, 23? And Uriah made that list. Boy, don't you think that pricked his heart? Amen? Amen. Sin will take you farther than you want to go.
Amen.
And one of the ways to keep from it is to maintain forward motion. Thank God David repented. I'm not picking on him. He's just like us. Amen. We let our guard down for a second, and we're capable of things we'd swear we weren't. Amen. Psalm 51 and verse 4, he did it right. Against thee only have I sinned and done evil in this sight. And he got forgiveness, but his relationship changed. 2 Samuel 12, 10 said, now therefore the sword shall never depart from thy house. Thine house. There's always a price to pay. Like I've said here before, I'm glad to be saved. I am saved. I am glad to be accepted in this crowd. I wouldn't be in every crowd. I'm glad to be serving, but there's a price. And what I carry around right here, I wouldn't wish on anybody.
Right.
I can't even close my eyes when I pray most of the time. It's haunting. Amen. Somebody said, oh, Brother Spurgeon, look, see, you know, you lived that wicked life and you turned out all right. I did not turn out all right. The grace of God has been good to me. No doubt about it. But again, I wouldn't wish it on nobody. Amen. That's why it's important that we reemphasize. Get saved young. Sell out. Live for God. That takes more guts than doing what I used to do.
That's right.
All right. So, We're talking about maintaining forward momentum. When water doesn't flow, it becomes stagnant. And when water becomes stagnant, it starts to stink, doesn't it?
Amen.
Amen. Let me tell you what, when Christians stop moving forward, they become stagnant too. They become satisfied with themselves. That verse in Proverbs said, a backslider shall be filled with his own ways. That terrifies me. I don't ever want that to happen again. Amen. But when Christians become stagnant, when they're not actively involved in something, and I'm not talking about, I'm not telling anybody what to do, but we're all supposed to be praying for one another. We're all supposed to be coming so that we can exhort one another. Amen. Some people are called to do different things, go on the mission field and things, praise the Lord. But in God's economy, everybody's equal. We're all supposed to be doing something.
Amen.
And here's why, because if we're not, amen. And I mean a man that is a good member of a church, that's something, man. If that's what God's called you to do, a wife and a mother, that's something, man.
Amen.
If a kid's obeying and honoring his parents, that's something.
Amen.
Amen. And you get away from some of that stuff and you'll get, well, stagnant Christians, you know what they do? They start to critique everybody else. Because they ain't doing nothing, so you got to do something. Yeah. So you start. It says in Psalm 1, in verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Let me tell you something. The seat, now I see them too, man. The seat of the scornful is a miserable place to sit.
Amen.
Amen. I recommend for every born-again child of God, find something to do for God. Like the brother said, well, that's kind of an intangible statement. Well, let's put legs to it. If you're not sure what to do, why don't you ask one of your pastors?
Amen.
Say, what can I do around here? What ministry can I help out in? What days work? There's all kinds of things.
Yep.
Amen? And, amen. That'll keep you from getting stagnant. That'll help you maintain forward motion. Paul said, reaching forth unto those things which are before is what'll help you, will keep your stinking flesh from dwelling on those things which are behind.
Amen.
We're talking, well, he said it like this in verse 14, Philippians 3. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, that word press, in the Bible, when it's used as a noun, refers to a crowd of people. We saw that in Luke 5 the other day. It's used again in Luke 19 with Zacchaeus. It says, and he sought to see Jesus who he would and could not for the press because he was little of stature. But this isn't a noun here. Amen. This is a verb, and it means to persist steadfastly. That's a Bible word. To persist steadfastly in pursuit of an undertaking, task, journey, or goal. To persevere in the face of difficulty. And Paul knew the definition when he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. He didn't just look ahead. Oh, I hope that maybe someday. He didn't just reach ahead. He pressed.
Amen.
Ahead. And that definition, to persevere in the face of difficulty, you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting there in verse 24, and you'll find out that he knew more about difficulty than any of us ever will.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And then he writes this thing, I press toward the mark for the prize. And I'll tell you what the prize is. The mark of the prize, go back to verse 10, in Philippians 3, and he said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. The prize was to know Jesus Christ, not just his Savior. Paul had that down. That was a done deal. Are you saved in here tonight? Well, that's a done deal for you. You know him as Savior. Amen. But the mark of the prize, there's nothing more important than knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. But there's so much more to knowing Jesus Christ than just that you're saved. Amen. It'll keep you busy your whole life. Amen. And to know Him better is the mark that we all need to keep pressing toward. Amen. And in this highly distracted age, like preacher mentioned, it is more important than ever to, I don't know who coined this phrase, but I like it, keep your eyes on the prize. And the prize is Him. Now, and if the verse finishes with these words, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I used to read that, and I'm thinking, this is the Apostle Paul. This guy didn't just take the gospel to the Gentiles. This guy, with everything he went through while he's locked up, he's a prisoner in Rome. He's writing most of our New Testament and the things that doctrinally apply. I mean, anybody that should be regarded as attaining the high calling of God, that's him. And I know some men of God in my life and some people that I mean sold out, missionaries, different people that, I hold in high esteem.
Amen.
But then I got to looking and the passage is written to a New Testament church just like this. And what he's saying there doesn't refer to a title or a ministry or a degree. It needs to apply to something that's attainable to every one of us.
Amen.
The prize of the high calling of God is to be a vessel meet for the Master's use.
Yes.
How does it get any better than that? That's what Paul said in 2 Timothy 2. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet. I like the sound of that. Meet for the Master's use and prepared unto every good work. I'm not defining the good work. The good work is to be wherever you're supposed to be, doing whatever you're, wherever you're supposed to be, whether it's in the home, in the church, in the ministry. Doesn't that have a nice ring to it?
Yes.
The prize of the high calling of God. You can attain that. I can attain that. If we'll just follow his guidelines for reaching our goal.
Yeah.
Amen. Not getting a point where, well, compared to so and so, you know, I count not myself to have apprehended. He said, forgetting that which is behind. You don't want to live in the past.
Amen.
Amen. And we need to keep pressing.
Amen.
So that we can know Him better. Keep moving. You guys are active. And most of the churches I go to are similar in this. Many of them are a little smaller. And that's my crowd. That's what I need. I'm not the seminar speaker of the week. Amen. I just want to be where it's real.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
So, praise the Lord. I hope you're encouraged a little bit. Paul, he set his sights and he gives us the outline. And I read through that and I got a blessing out of it. And so if there's anything going on that might hinder you from reaching the goal, well, that's what you need to address.
Amen.
Spiritually.
Amen.
Amen. And you gotta be honest with yourself. And if there's some sin in your life, if there's some fault in your life, if there's some distraction in your life, if you've let some of the things that are fundamental, they're fundamental if you do them. Amen. And some of the fundamental things like the importance of the fellowship here or the prayer, you know what I'm saying. I'm not going to say it all again. If there's something that you need to address so that you can get back on track heading toward this place right here, I'm talking about the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Well, that's what needs to be addressed.
Amen.
And you know what? We got to have to keep this up and encouraging one another to keep this up and keeping our Bible until the Lord comes.
Amen.
Amen. It doesn't matter if we're the last man standing. We don't want to be standing. We want to be with Him.
Amen.
Amen. So let's do our part. Let's stand. I'm done, but let me say this. Let's all stand, head bowed and eyes closed. Now that's a message for Christians tonight, no doubt about it. And I hope it's encouragement to you. But I don't take it for granted you are a Christian. And if you're not, Praise the Lord, you can be.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, and nobody's trying to campaign to get you to join anything. Nobody said a word. Nobody's put a plate in front of you. Some of the misconceptions about modern Christianity, you haven't experienced any of that here tonight. We're here to encourage one another and proclaim the glorious gospel. The Bible said Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, not our constitution or our opinion of what, according to the book. And the book said that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures to make salvation, eternal life, available to everybody. Everybody. And it's, he's not willing that any should perish. So there's nobody that he would reject.
That's right.
But you gotta come to him.
Amen.
And if you're in here and you're not saved tonight, well, that's what you need to consider. And if you're not sure about it, well, I'm a good person, or I go to church, or if you're not saved tonight, if you don't have the confidence that I'm talking about, amen, that many of us have, you're missing out on a key part.
That's right.
Of the gift of eternal life.
Yep. Amen.
And that's where the power of God is. When Brother Brian gets up here, you listen to what he says, and if man with a man, woman with a woman, we'll take all the time in the world. Maybe when we say that, they think, I've already been here now. It doesn't take very long. I got saved in a jail cell by myself. 3 weeks after hearing the word of God, no angel appeared. I heard it, and it took me three weeks to act on it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Now you're hearing it. I hope you act on it.
Yes.
Sooner than later. All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, so let's do business with God. If you're clear, then you can turn to the page he's going to tell you about. But if you need to pray, that's primary.
You got that right. Thank you, David.
Sure.
What he says is absolutely true, and I'm telling you, it is sincere. I heard somebody one time that told me a phrase, and they said, Brian, do you need a written invitation? You know, I'm telling you, you have a written invitation. Jesus Christ himself said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out.
Wow.
He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
That's the Lord Jesus that's giving you an invitation to come to him. Isn't that amazing? He's offering that to you.
Thank you, Lord.
And the only thing that's holding you back is maybe your stubbornness, maybe your pride, maybe your, I think you'll be embarrassed if you call upon his name. But listen, I'm telling you, do not pass up an opportunity to call on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is good. Many of us had that same struggle. And God helped us to overcome it, and we've called upon his name. And I bet you take a survey of everybody in this room that's saved, and you ask all of us, is anybody in here regret calling upon the Lord? Not a single person's going to say, I never should have done it. We may regret not serving him more wholly, but nobody's going to regret having called upon the Lord Jesus. If he is ready and willing and able to save you, what's holding you back? Call upon his name. Grab one of us. And those of you that visit, obviously somebody probably invited you. Maybe you've just come in off the street. But if you're not saved, please grab one of us, because it is what we live for, to see other people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ like we do. We're going to sing number 75. And this song right here also has message for you, Christian, because don't think that you can walk out of this meeting without dealing with something. And maybe there's something that you heard tonight that applies to you. Are you running fully? Are you pressing toward the mark? Are you living in the past? Have you forgotten those things that are behind and looking forward to those things that are before? There's probably a message in there for you. Deal with God. Let him have his way in your heart. Number 75 in the supplement.
He gave me release. He led me in pathways.
bless you and take you home safely. Invite somebody to come to these meetings. And on your busy schedule tomorrow, don't forget to tell somebody about the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord.